This is What's in a Name, written by Mariana O'Connor and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel fic rated for general audiences, featuring the relationship Bucky Barnes / Clint Barton. Summary. 10 years ago, Clint was fresh out of SHIELD training. 10 years ago, he was on a mission. 10 years ago, he fell in love with a man who turned out to be a Hydra agent. Now, Clint's got 10 years of experience under his belt, he's on another mission, and the man who betrayed him is standing there shaking his hand and using Clint's name.
To when we need, and I don't have the right to ask where you go at night, but the waves hit my head to think someone's in your
head. Clint's face is starting to hurt from smiling. This is why he's usually the one sitting by a window on the other side of the street, or sometimes in the van. He's not good at the shit. She's looking at him like he's supposed to be saying something. Her expression doesn't look annoyed, her lips are smiling, but she's clearly waiting for a response. He's going to guess it should be positive? Sounds great, he tells her, smiling again. Clint doesn't think he's smiled this much since before he was old enough to know that horses couldn't fly. He must have said the right thing, though, because Ms. Hellier is slipping her arm into his and escorting him across the room. He really hopes he didn't just agree to anything he's going to regret. Ms. Hellier is nice enough, he supposes. She's kind, rich, and looks good. She's really not his type, though. She'd been looking for company at the ambassador's party, and Clint had needed a way into the party, so this is mutually beneficial. Mr. Hawkins, she says, there's someone you absolutely must meet. And there's this twinkle in her eye that Clint knows means trouble. Don't get distracted, Coulson says in his ear. Not that Clint can respond. He's too busy trying to keep up with Ms. Hellier as she leads him towards what is bound to be an awkward conversation. Hawkeye, Natasha says, a heartbeat later. There is a tone in her voice that automatically kicks Clint's heart into a higher gear. You need to remain calm. Clint scans his eyes around the room and finds her on the other side, serving glasses of champagne with a cheery smile. He catches her eye, and she looks deliberately to the side, in the direction that Clint is being inexorably led by his cover date. Clint follows her gaze and... fuck. What was that? Ms. Hellier asks, and Clint has to bring his smile back up. Nothing. Just wondering who it was you wanted to introduce me to, he says, carefully not looking at the man he'd just seen. The man he hasn't seen since Budapest, when they had come to the mutually beneficial agreement that they should probably stop meeting like this. Clint still has the scar from the bullet wound. He kinda hopes Bucky still has his as well. Not that he can ask. Right now, he's Lance Hawkins, investment banker, and Lance Hawkins has never met Bucky Barnes and has definitely never shot anyone in the leg. Why is Barnes here? Natasha asks. Clint opens his mouth to ask why she thinks he'd know when he realizes that she's speaking to Coulson. I'll get back to you on that, Coulson's voice says. He sounds as controlled as ever, but the fact that he's admitting he doesn't know is worrying. Mr. Barton, Ms. Hellier says, and Clint almost has a heart attack because how the fuck does she know? She's not looking at him. She's looking at Bucky, who is smiling like this isn't the most awkward fucking encounter in the history of awkward encounters. He looks good. That's the real kick in the teeth. Bucky Barnes. He's Barnes now. Has to be. Looks like he just walked out of a photo shoot. He's wearing an impeccably tailored tux, and his hair is the perfect amount of messy, just like Clint always liked to make it. His face is a decade older, but unlike Clint, who measures that decade in scars, he looks like he's matured rather than aged. He's not fresh-faced and soft anymore, but the line of his jaw and the shape of his brow stand that little bit clearer and more refined. He looks good. Clint wants to reach out and touch him. He balls his traitorous hands into fists to keep them under control, to remind them that Bucky is not his to touch. Hasn't been for 10 years. Bucky never was his, not really. "Mr. Barton, I wasn't sure you'd be coming," Ms. Hellier says. "Interesting cover identity," Natasha comments, and Clint slips all but his middle finger into his jacket pocket as casually as he can, just to make it clear that he is not interested in the comments from the peanut gallery. He's going to need to be paying attention for this one. Natasha can keep her insinuations to herself. It's a common enough name. It doesn't follow that. "Grant Barton," Bucky says, holding out a hand towards him. The fingers are suspiciously flesh-colored, not metallic. "Lance Hawkins," Clint says. "I'm in investments, helping Ms. Hellier here build up a portfolio. What is it you do, Mr. Barton?" He's impressed by how steady his voice holds. He takes Bucky's offered hand, and maybe he squeezes a little too tightly as they shake. He's not above a bit of macho posturing. Though, given the hand he's shaking is made of metal underneath that rubber sleeve, he's not sure why he's even bothering. Bucky's eyes hold his, and it may have been 10 years since he found out that the bastard worked for fucking Hydra and then shot him in cold blood, but he can still read the expression in Bucky's eyes as easy as breathing. Bucky doesn't want him to make a scene. He wants him to play along, which probably means he isn't about to shop Clint in. But let's be real. Most of what Clint knew about James Barnes was a fucking lie, so why should this be any different? There are 4 security guards nearby. There are 6 exits to this room. There are 17 things nearby that Clint could use to disable him if necessary. Well, 10, but there are 7 cocktail sticks on that tray of canapes, and he could make a damn good try. Of course, that also means there are 17 things nearby that Barnes could use to disable him. He wonders if Barnes has backup. Probably. He tries to casually sweep the room with his eyes. "We've had some chatter about a possible Hydra agent who might have been attending," Coulson says. "There was no indication it was Barnes. There's been no sign of him in 7 years. We thought he was dead." "And now, here he is, alive and using the name Barton," Natasha says. "I knew you two would hit it off," Ms. Hellier says brightly. "You have so much in common. Mr. Hawkins, did you know that Mr. Barton is fond of archery?" He didn't. Clint feels his jaw tighten, trying to glare at Barnes without actually glaring at him. Because the man did not make him into a cover identity. There's no way he's such a big dick that he thinks it's amusing to pretend to be Clint. But he does work for Hydra, so he probably is that big of a dick. Clint needs to stop thinking about Bucky Barnes's dick. Ms. Hellier is still listing ways in which they are alike, but Clint tunes her out, staring at Bucky and trying to gauge exactly how this is going to go. He knows the standing order for any SHIELD agent who sees James Barnes is to shoot to kill, no questions asked. The man's an assassin and implicated in over 12 terror threats and incidents. He's committed treason 12 times and... "Oh," Ms. Hellier says, with such obvious feigned enthusiasm that both Clint and Bucky, "Barnes, damn it, Barnes," smirk in amusement. "There's Helen. I really need to talk to her about the fundraiser next week. You boys behave yourselves now." She winks broadly at Clint and then glides away towards some other society lady, a pleased grin spread over her face. "How have you been?" Barnes asks, sipping at his champagne like this is some sort of reunion. "Are you serious?" Clint asks, his face open and polite, but his voice a savage hiss. He's still trying to work out where the other Hydra agents are. "As I remember, you were the one who insisted on never being serious about anything," Barnes says, his voice smooth but acid. "I'm serious about plenty of things," Clint says. "You just never had a sense of humor." "Just because I didn't see anything humorous in..." Barnes cuts himself off and shakes his head. "I didn't come here to argue." "No, you came here because of Hydra." "Yes, but not in the way you think," Barnes says. Clint shakes his head. He might have fallen for Barnes's charm and his killer thighs and the fucking deadly shadow of his stubble before, but he's 10 years older now and at least 2 years wiser. Maybe. In dog years. "The person you're looking for is the ambassador's aide." "How do you know what I'm looking for?" Clint asks. Barnes's lips purse. "Don't be difficult," he says. "I'm not being difficult," Clint tells him. "I'm just not being a gullible fool." Tell Natasha that stabbing me will end badly for everyone involved, Barnes says. Clint sees Natasha's familiar red hair pause over Bucky's shoulder. Bucky raises an eyebrow and holds out a hand to Clint. Dance with me. You know, most people would phrase that as a request and not an order. Clint, Barnes says, and Clint can tell he's getting under the guy's skin. Good. Now he knows what it feels like. Not to the same level, because Clint doesn't think he can ever make anyone understand exactly how it feels to be sent falling off a balcony dressed only in your boxer shorts because the guy you've been pretty much living with for the last 6 months turned out to be a terrorist and shot you. At least Clint shot him back. And landed in that convenient dumpster. Why are you here? He asks. Dance with me, Barnes says again. Clint looks down at the hand and then darts his eyes over to Natasha, who gives an almost imperceptible shrug. Fine, Clint says, reaching out to take Barnes's hand. It isn't familiar, except it is. They had never exactly been fancy before. Clint had been posing as a student on a gap year. Bucky had been pretending to be an intern at a local web design company. They had never had more than a month's rent between them at any one time. They had never danced like this, formal frame and set steps, gliding over a dance floor. But there's a familiarity in the closeness of Bucky's body, in the warmth of him, the coiled strength in his arms, the solid presence of him. There is familiarity in the self-confidence there and the way every movement between them feels like a taunt. Their dancing before had been an unchoreographed friction of limbs and sweat, rolling into each other's personal space, teasing at each other's edges, hazy and lost until they blurred together, moving as one, and stumbled away to move in another kind of way. There is none of the haze. Clint's mind is crystal clear as it tracks their movement across the dance floor, as he concentrates on Bucky's hands and his eyes, trying to work out what it is Barnes wants here. Does he want the ambassador's aid as well? Does he want the man alive or dead? Is he here for Clint? Is the last name he's chosen, Clint's last name, a worse taunt than Clint even realized? But they move together as easily as before. Bucky can dance, and Clint's had his share of training. But it's not just the training. They can read each other and move almost seamlessly around the dance floor, the rise and fall of their steps precise, but still smooth. I intercepted a message, Bucky says in Hungarian. It's been years since Clint had used the language, but the sound of it on Bucky's lips is so familiar that it's like falling into a memory. Hydra doesn't want anyone to get their hands on the information. So they sent you to kill me? Clint asks. No, they sent him. Bucky nods slightly over Clint's shoulder, then turns them so Clint can see the man he's indicating. Clint recognizes him vaguely from the photographs of known Hydra agents. And he's not here to kill you. Not just you, anyway. Why are you telling me this? Clint asks, narrowing his eyes and taking control of the dance, forcing Bucky to follow as he leads. He feels the slight resistance, and for a second he thinks Bucky is going to actually wrestle him on the dance floor. I don't work for Hydra anymore, Bucky says. Right, Clint says. I've heard that one before. I left 7 years ago, Bucky says. It took me 3 years to get out, but I did. Cool story, bro, Clint says. You want to try the truth now? You're not getting out of here except in handcuffs or a body bag. I knew the risks when I came in here, Bucky says, and he looks remarkably calm. Clint wishes he didn't know the difference between Bucky's actual calm expression and the one he's wearing now. There is just that slight swallow that makes it clear Bucky's scared. Or he's pretending to be scared. Clint hates all this spy bullshit. He's supposed to be a marksman, goddammit. Why did they ever let him do this stuff? The last time I saw you, you shot me. I could say the same to you. You shot me first, Clint says. You're behaving like a child, Natasha's voice whispers in his ear. We don't have time for you to pull his pigtails. Use the knockout serum on him and we can get on with the job. Clint doesn't go for the knockout serum. It's in a hidden compartment in the signet ring on his right hand. He could activate it and brush it over the skin of Bucky's neck. It wouldn't be difficult, but he doesn't. He wishes he knew why. I shot you to save your life, Bucky says. That's really what you're going with. Hydra knew about you. They wanted you dead. I shot you so they would think I'd succeeded, Bucky says, his voice low now, determined. I thought you knew that. Why the fuck would I know that? Clint asks, incredulous. You shot me back, Bucky says. And what part of that says I was in on your fucked up little plan? Clint asks. Because you didn't kill me, Bucky tells him. The words make Clint uneasy in his skin. He hadn't thought. He'd been falling at the time. Anyone could have missed. Anyone except Clint. He'd had the headshot. He'd been aiming at Bucky's head, falling from the balcony, a bullet in his leg, and he'd aimed his gun right at Bucky's head, and then he'd missed, hit the shoulder instead. He'd sworn blind in every post-mission debrief that the shot had been knocked off by the fall and the wind and 1,000 other reasons. He'd been shot. He was in pain. No one could have made that shot. But he could have. Clint knows he could have. He should have, maybe. But he'd shot Bucky in the shoulder instead. He'd let a Hydra assassin and a terrorist go. He hadn't thought Bucky knew. His thought process must be showing on his face, or maybe he said that out loud, because Bucky shakes his head. I worked it out later, when I knew who you were, Bucky says. I'm here to help. Why the fuck should I believe you? Clint asks, his voice rough. Clint, Bucky says, I'm going to need you to duck. What? Clint asks, trying to twist around to see what Bucky's looking at over his shoulder. I'm not. Clint, Bucky repeats. Then Clint is being dipped, because Bucky is an asshole, and he sees a flash of metal slice over him, right where his back would have been. Hey man, not cool, he says. Though whether he's talking to Bucky or the new guy who just tried to stab him, Clint couldn't really say. There's a growl of frustration, and Clint pulls himself up straight again and steps as hard as he can onto the guy's right instep. He feels something crunch. In Clint's report later, he will describe what happens next as an unavoidable violent altercation with enemy agents, but in his head, he mostly describes it as holy fucking shit. All hell breaks loose. 3 Hydra agents die, 2 very rich people faint, 1 has a heart attack, 7 people get lacerations from broken glass, Clint earns a concussion, a dislocated shoulder, and a lifetime ban from 3 different European countries, and Bucky gets lightly stabbed and an overnight stay in the Hotel du Shield. Clint stands on the other side of the one-way glass and stares at him. His story checks out, Natasha says. Hmm, Clint grunts. The intelligence he's got can save a lot of lives, she continues. Hmm, Clint grunts again. He doesn't trust himself to say more in front of her. He's specifically requested to be assigned to a different team from you. What? Why? Clint asks, turning to her before he can stop himself. Natasha smirks. He didn't say, but if I had to take a guess, it might have something to do with the non-fraternization rules. Clint glares at her. Or maybe it's because working with the guy who fucked you over in every sense of the word would be kind of awkward and not good for team morale. Are you angry because he lied to you, or are you angry because you fell for it? Natasha asks. Can I be angry because of both? Clint asks, kicking one foot against the floor as he glares down at it. Sorry, I meant, are you angry because you fell for him? She asks, giving a fake little frown of confusion. Pronouns are so difficult sometimes. Fuck you, Clint tells her, but his heart isn't in it. It's been 10 years. He called himself Grant Barton, she reminds him. Clint looks back up at Bucky, who is sitting perfectly still in the center of the interrogation room, looking right back at him. Clint knows Bucky can't see him through the one-way glass and can't hear them either, but for a second it feels like he can. 10 years is a long time. Clint's not exactly the same kid he was, fresh out of training and looking for adventure. But Bucky isn't the same person, and if his story is to be believed, he's changed a whole lot more than Clint has. There's no reason to think they'd even work together anymore. Clint turns and walks toward the door. Do you know what you're going to say to him? Natasha asks. Yeah, Clint calls over his shoulder. I know exactly what I'm going to say. He pushes into the interrogation room, and instantly Bucky's eyes snap onto him. There might even be a hint of surprise in there, and Clint feels his own thrill of pride that he managed to surprise the guy. Hey, asshole, he says. Wanna get out of here? The end. Happy birthday, Vic.